Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Brandon Tierney here, locally on The Fan, which is cool. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS. Coming in from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times, Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So, mortgage experience and assistance. Contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. You know, one thing about the residue here from the pandemic with baseball is the obviously the draft has been whacked. I mean, down to five rounds, and then if you're not drafted but you sign, there's a $20,000 max. I mean, so it's really altering the trajectory and the decision making process of a lot of kids. I mean, think about this: if you're a junior and you're a big time junior, maybe not big time enough to go inside the top five rounds, but big time enough to go inside the top 10, you know, and if you go inside the top 10 and you've got another year to go, meaning you have another option, you know, you have a little leverage with the team that drafts you. It's happened to a few of my buddies one of my buddies I grew up with was drafted in high school. He pitched to Bishop Ford, great pitcher, man, great player. Pitched to Bishop Ford, which is no longer around, Catholic school in Brooklyn, but it's gone. And then he went to Seton Hall. He was drafted out of high school. I think he was drafted in like round 11. In high school, and, you know, I wasn't high enough for him. So he went to Seton Hall, played 3 years, played with Matt Morris and that crew, and a year or two older than Matt. And he was a weekend pitcher, a star, really, really good player. And I think he became a seventh-round pick by the Giants. And because he had the extra year, I don't know exactly what he wound up bringing home, but guys in that situation – yeah, you're signing for six figures. You're not signing for $20,000. You're easily signing for six figures. Otherwise, you just go back to school. Now, if you're a 23rd round pick, like a guy that I played with at college who was drafted by the Mets, you know, you go because you just go. You drafted late. He may have been later than that, Georgie. A shortstop from Long Island. You know, maybe got $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 max. You go and you chase the dream. But the minor league system now, it's totally different. One thing, and I hate that kids don't get a chance to chase their dreams, because if there's one thing you want to know as an athlete, you want somebody, if you play, you know, beyond high school, you want somebody to eventually say, you know what, you're just not good enough, man. You're not good enough. You might be decent in this little, you know, mid-major Division I Northeast Baseball Conference, but when you start to look to, you know, all the foreign players and then you branch out, not to mention all the big time programs, SEC, Pac-12, all those schools out west, and then you start going into the high school circuit, the party's over. But you at least want a chance, whether you signed or it's free agent, just to, you know, scratch that final baseball itch, especially baseball. Baseball's a real labor of love. I'm not saying basketball's not, and hockey is too. Like, if you grow up playing hockey and you're chasing that hockey professional dream, you know, you're up at 3 o'clock basically your entire childhood. You go into rink, you know, getting rink time early. You traveled across the country, going up to Canada, all over North America, and you love it. But it's, you know, it's a labor of love, really. And same with baseball. You're playing 80, 100 games a year, et cetera, doubleheaders, playing every day, basically. One thing that could be good, all right, because what's baseball, they're getting rid of the minors. I mean, that's where this is going. They are really going to condense the amount of professional players out there. And, you know, when the A's don't pay their players, the 400 menial, how pathetic is that of the A's? Menial. $400 a week just to exist. The A's, nope, can't do it. Not going to do it. Or not that they can't. They're electing not to. I think that one byproduct of a smaller scale minor leagues is that the product at the major league level eventually is going to become a lot better. Because, you know, I was told that David Sampson used to run the Marlins, their president back in the days with CBS Now. And I've talked to other executives about this over the years. Basically, if 20% of your minor league players, I'm talking, you know, rookie, A, high A, double, encompassing every level of, not independent, but every level of affiliated baseball. If 20% of the players that you have in the entire organization are actually viewed as prospects, I mean, that's an ambitious number. The rest of the kids are just filling out the roster so the prospects could play against somebody. So if you get rid of the non-prospects and through attrition, by condensing the draft, by, you know, getting rid of some of the minor. And again, I don't love this because I minor league baseball to me is a vibrant thing. I'm a huge fan of it. But seeing the one positive, the baseball product at the upper level will become better. All right, 855-212-4227. So I'm here until 6. Brandon Tierney. Let's get Bill, Pennsylvania, up now. Go ahead, buddy. What do you got, Bill? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
I have a compromise proposal for MLB.
Oh, you got the golden goose. All right.
All right, 102-game schedule, 13 weeks.
Why 102? How'd you come up with that number?
Each team in their division 18 times.
All right.
They play the interleague teams 6 times each.
All right, so you're talking 18 times 4 is 72. I got you. Okay, got you. I'm with you. 102. Okay, go ahead. 102.
Okay, no days off.
No.
Doubleheaders on Sunday, every Sunday.
Yep.
Now, because no days off, expand the rosters to 32.
Okay.
So the owners are getting 20 more games of TV money for free.
Okay.
The players get their 81 games, their half salary, and the union gets over 200 players added to the roster, obviously making minimum.
Well, I mean, listen here, Bill. I mean, at first glance or at first hear, yeah, it sounds plausible to me. I mean, you're going to give me baseball, 102 games? Okay, that's cool. I guarantee if this was in the hands of the legal representation for the owners, it would be shredded in a second. You know, I appreciate the out-of-the-box thinking. Thanks for the call, buddy. And putting time in behind it and crafting a plan, a diligent plan. Good for you. I think that, sounds like it could work. Why not? I mean, heck, it's better than half the nonsense I've heard, right? Let me get Dan, who is in Long Island. Dan is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dan?
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Let it be known, I'm a Marist College, only freshman and sophomore. In my freshman year, we went down to Madison Square Garden, and we saw Walt Frazier Day.
Wow.
And he got his number retired. A bunch of 6 guys parked in our packed in the car, went down Route 9, clueless, but we ended up getting tickets and we ended up seeing it.
Wow. Hey, what year, Dan, what year did you graduate from Marist, by the way?
Well, I was there for my first 2 years. I would have graduated in 83. I ended up going to Manhattan. I was a Jasper.
A Jasper.
In 83.
Oh, so you went for the inferior academic school. I got you, Dan. I understand.
No, it was both wonderful, wonderful experiences.
I know they are. So you were there a couple of years after Bill O'Reilly. Billy was out in what, 79 as the punter? Bill was the punter.
He was there before I am. I'm 59 right now.
Gotcha.
So okay. But we went to McCann and Jim and we had fun there. It was a really wonderful time. But I have a question for you and a couple comments on our Knicks.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh jeez, yeah.
You have to listen to Mark Cuban and such. Hearing some of the news, and I don't know how accurate it is, not too thrilled about Tibbs as a coach, being that Carl Anthony Towns maybe didn't like him as much, and we want to attract free agents. Not thrilled about Chris Paul either. Looking at the team and liking what I'm seeing out of RJ, and boy, rising stars, 27 points, game against Houston at the end. He shot an air ball in the last minute. They came back, hit the game-winning shot.
It's so funny you point that out because, listen, we do the national show. Me and Teak aren't talking a ton of Knicks. We're talking LeBron, James Harden. We're talking about Giannis. We're not talking about the Knicks unless I'm burying them. But I actually specifically referenced that because that air ball, to see him go right back to the well, showed me that we know the kid's got stones, but just because of his pops. But just to see that, I remember it well. So keep going. I remember that play very well.
Right, and listen to him speak. He's so grounded.
Yep.
He actually reminds me of his mindset of Derek Jeter, all the New York athletes. And I hope I'm right, because everybody talks about Ja and Zion, but I'm interested to see how he develops. I'm excited about him.
Me too.
I'm excited about Mitchell, though I'd like to see him take a 10 or a 12-foot jump shot.
Me too.
Develop that. And I want to see what we have out of Kevin Knox, right, just to kind of prove it. Now, as far as for the draft, I'm interested to see if we can pick up a point guard. But to you specifically, are you in the Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy camp for a coach? Because I am. I'd love to see that. What do you see for the team going forward?
Okay, listen, Dan, what do I see? Hopefully not what we've seen for 20 years, man. Thank you for the call, Dan. I appreciate it. It's amazing. I have not done local radio since 2012 in San Francisco and in New York before that. I'm having the same damn conversation that I had in 2005 and 2006 and 2007, 2008. It's 2020. Same conversation about the Knicks. Good God, Knicks, get your act together. Jeez, please. Okay, I'm going to throw another name out there. Atkinson. I'm an Atkinson fan, number one, because I saw him during the, years I was doing the Knicks pre and post, and Kenny was an assistant, and he was the guy who was really responsible for player development. And just look, you know, forget about Kyrie, forget about Kevin Durant, look at the players on the team. I know that D'Angelo Russell kind of shaded him, said, yeah, that's not why I got better, I didn't really get better because of Kenny. All right, that's fine. You really weren't that good without him, so you might want to give him a little bit of credit, maybe just a speck. But Kenny, to me, could be a perfect fit. Could be. I'm kind of with you. I'm not feeling Thibodeau, but I'm thinking that that's what it's going to be. You know, Thibs, to me, he's just so rigid, and we're past that point. Yeah, you've got to have principles. You can't let the players run the show. You got to be in charge, but you've got to do it in a modern way. And I just don't know if Thibs is flexible enough. He's old school. I'm not questioning his acumen or his tenacity or his work ethic. Check, check, check. All those things are really good. And the guys want a lot more than he's lost. But I just don't know if he's perfect. I don't think there's anybody perfect, because until the Knicks actually get players, it's not going to matter. I would be all good with Van Gundy. I would say my top two would be Van Gundy and Atkinson. I'm intrigued by Mark Jackson. And I was out there in San Francisco when Mark was there. And I think Mark has gotten the short end of the stick. Mark really helped elevate those Warriors more than people will ever know. I mean, you talk to Clay, you talk to Steph, you talk to Draymond. Mark Jackson got that team going. I mean, Kerr just grabbed it. I mean, what Kerr did was easy. Hell, Luke Walton didn't lose a game coaching them. What was he, 20-1, whatever the heck he was? So, I mean, the Knicks have a million problems. I'm not sold on Kevin Knox. I mean, if you're soft when you're 20, why aren't you going to be soft when you're 25? He showed little flashes. He showed a little more playmaking ability in terms of setting teammates up. And I do think he'll become the shooter he's supposed to be. I still think he's getting used to the closeout speed and the thought, well, if I don't drop a shot early, I'm going to get pulled. And you can't play like that when you're a kid. So I'm not giving up on Knox. But, boy, I thought he'd be a little bit better at this point. The thing about Chris Paul is interesting. If you asked me this a year ago, I would have said no. I would have said hell no with that contract. Hell no. Chris Paul, for what? What is this, the mid-2000s? No way would I want him in 2019 or 2020. However, the one thing that's been really elusive for the Knicks is the way they're perceived positively. And if Chris Paul goes there, and if he has a good experience, let's face it, most people who go there don't. So this would have to really buck the odds or counter the trend here. But if Chris Paul had a good experience, Chris Paul's got juice. And Chris Paul's word is going to matter. And that could change how eventual free agents down the road perceive the Knicks situation. 1-855-212-4227. But again, I would probably say Van Gundy and Atkinson, 1 and 2. lukewarm on Thibs. I would take Mark Jackson before Thibs, but I don't think they're going to hire Mark. We'll see. Let me get Bud, who is in California, and Bud is on CBS Sports Radio with Brandon Tierney. What up, Bud? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
So I want to point something out with all the and I'm glad to be able to call your show. I'm a big sports fan, but also into politics. And you can't get into talk any politics on regular talk radio because they're all a bunch of right-wing bigots.
Well, hold on a second. First of all, relax. Number one, relax. I mean, if you're going to come in, you're not going to start throwing darts at what could be half my audience. Number one, let's relax with that. And number two, if you think you're calling me to get deep into politics, you're calling the wrong show. So you can either hang up or you can make a point that is not too deeply rooted in politics, because I'm keeping this the way I want to keep it.
No, I got you.
Okay,
well, my point was just about the nature of the protest. You know, we saw the protest by a lot of white people a few weeks ago. Everybody was supporting them on the right wing, and nobody was saying anything bad about them. And then these protests break out, and all of a sudden there's a few violent incidents, and people are like, oh, my God, there's violence.
Well, there is.
You know, I know there is violence, but the point is that in the protests in Hong Kong, I went back and did some research, there's a lot of violence in those protests, and we've been supporting those protests for the whole time. So the idea that violence stops people from being able to legitimately protest, we don't support that in Hong Kong.
No, I mean, I have no interest getting into Hong Kong. I truly don't. I truly don't. Nor do I have any interest, nor do I think my audience has any interest in hearing us piece together any correlation between what's going on there and what might be going on here. Not interested. Hey, thank you for making the call. And I'm certainly not trying to come at you sideways here, but you know, when you throw a jab, first of all, at what very well could be, if it's not the majority of my audience, could be slightly below. I don't know. It's a national show. I mean, a Republican was elected president. So to say that, you know, you just can't throw those, I can't have that. And I wouldn't allow it the other way either. I could promise you that. But thank you for the call. Terrence is in Georgia, and Terrence is on CBS Sports Radio. Terrence, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, guy. How are you?
Is this Terrence from about, you called like a while ago and something was wrong with your phone, right?
Nah, there was nothing wrong. No, nothing was wrong with my phone. I do security, and I was just doing my job.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, thanks for calling back, man. What's happening, buddy?
I forgot that I was on the phone, you know?
Yeah, I had that effect on people. I lull you to sleep.
No.
What's up,
this is a great show, man.
I appreciate that, buddy. What do you got?
The opening, mm-hmm. You know, this is hard. For me, these riots / protests, the protests are right.
Mm-hmm.
Riots, that's just the straight thuggery. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree.
It's just straight thuggery. And you know, it was just an excuse for you to go break in. Because I'm in Atlanta now.
Okay.
I'm a New Yorker.
Gotcha.
It was just straight thuggery, man. And there's no excuse for it. You know, see, here's, to me, this is how it goes. Either you do the right thing or you don't do the right thing. When you do the right things happen for you. When you're doing the wrong thing, the consequences of that wrong is going to happen for you.
It's true.
So, it's just that, you know, and then, oh, but my main point is this. That wall, that blue wall is what keeps people and the police, you know, the citizens and the police department at odds with each other. That blue wall of silence is the perpetrator of everything, like you were saying earlier. How could you be a civil servant and protect and serve when you're not protecting and serving? When it's us against you.
Yep.
Us against the community. You know what I'm saying? That's
and
your police.
Listen, Terrence, and that's the biggest part of the disconnect, because the two sides would be, well, And I certainly absolutely believe this with all my heart. You know, 99% of all men and women who have a badge and who have a gun, who walk out of their homes each morning to protect and serve, have the right intentions. The percentage that don't or that doesn't is the one that leads to anarchy. Let me ask you a question, Terrence.
I agree with that.
First of all, how old are you, Terrence? How old are you?
I'm 67 years old.
Okay. I don't like to assume. Are you African American or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So almost 70 years old, African American. You grew up in New York, but you're down south now. You've seen a lot. I get it.
Right.
Do you believe, because my answer is yes, but my answer is somewhat insignificant right now. I need your answer. Do you believe that race relations, meaning, I don't mean between the trust with the police and the inner city. I don't mean that. That's a bridge that needs to get rebuilt, no doubt. But don't you believe between, you know, decent people that the race bridge is far stronger in terms of exchanging ideas and trusting the other side and embracing other people is a lot stronger today than it was when you were a kid? Do you believe
sure.
that?
Oh, you know what? I do believe that. I do.
So do I.
Because the one thing that that just irks me to death is when African American guys. Oh, I got some white. I have white friends, or vice versa. Even if they're your friend or they're not. If
yeah.
they're orange with blue and pink polka dots on them, if you like them as a person or whatever that. And you consider them a friend, that's your friend.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know?
Well, you know what it is, Terrence? It's almost like a disclaimer for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know.
And that irks me to no end. God, it irks me to no end. But
hey, listen, Terrence.
Let's go to one more thing.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, man.
The Knicks got to get rid of Dolan. Period. if the Knicks bring Chris Paul to New York.
Uh-huh.
I will come up there personally and kick the crap out of Dolan myself first.
Terrence,
I mean, this should have been done. If you're going to bring somebody in like Chris Paul, you should have done it 10, 12 years ago.
Terrence, I'm not saying that you're wrong, and I don't know if I'd word it quite that way, but let me ask you this. I mean, or let me tell you this. You know, I mean, there's no way we're getting him out of there. I mean, Dolan's going to run the Knicks until he decides not to. There's nothing that can be done, period.
I know. I mean, and this has been the history of New York sports minus the Yankees.
Yes. Yes. So, yes.
Always bringing in aging ball players who are past their time, just so you can fill a seat.
Terrence, I got to run. I'm a little late here. Thanks for the call. God bless, brother. Thanks for making that call, man.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yo, and my pleasure, Terrence. I'm happy you called, man. Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have the Yankees, oh, my God. I mean, as much as I love, you know, hearing about Clyde Frazier and Pearl Monroe and Dave. Yeah, I know, Dad. I know. They were good. I know. They played unselfish, cerebral basketball. I know. Red Holtzman, you know, I know them all. Yeah, I've got Willis Reed. Yeah, I know. Phil coming off the bench. Got it. Defensive stopper. Yup. I mean, my eyes have seen some of the worst basketball for a basketball junkie. Known to man, and I can't even get into my football team. I'll let Beningo handle that locally for the most part. Good God. Thank God I'm a Yankee fan. Thank God. 855-212-4227. All right, I got 40 more minutes, and I'm liking the flow of these calls. A little bit all over the map. During the week, I certainly like to have a little more structure to the show, but this is one of these days where we're bouncing around, we're hopping here, we're jumping there, and I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to take calls the rest of the way. I'll squeeze a little more baseball stuff. Why I'm worried? 1-855-212-4CBS. Brandon Tierney up until 6 Eastern. CBS Sports Radio, WFAN. Okay, going to get some more calls. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You know, it's probably not smart in our business or in my business to ever assume, so I don't want to assume that you know what I do during the week. If you like what you're hearing today, check me out during the week, 3 to 6 Eastern with my guy Tiki. Tiki Barber, Tiki and Tierney, 3 to 6 Eastern. If you are in one of the 140 markets that carries Tiki and Tierney, good for you. If not, great app, radio.com, boom, and TV simulcast as well, so you can see our shiny mug. I mean, listen, I don't know if there's two shinier domes in the business that do a show together than us. I mean, one lighter, one darker. We got some shiny mugs, so you can't miss us. CBS Sports Network simulcast. All right, let's get back to some calls here. How about Craig is in Michigan, and Craig is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Craig? How you doing today?
Hey, doing Fabulous, man. Great. I appreciate you asking, and thank you, and I hope you're doing awesome, too. I got two things, man. If you get the chance to talk about one or both of them, I'd appreciate it.
Let's hear it, man.
First of all, NBA Finals, once they get the playoffs going, I want to say that do you think that there's a chance that maybe a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th rated team going in is more comfortable in that atmosphere, in that pickup ball type atmosphere with no fans, and they just get on a roll and can win the championship based on, it's just going to be a different game. It's going to be pickup basketball.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think it's going to be a very different. No, I don't think so, Craig. I would challenge that. Now the aesthetic's going to be very different, but they're not structurally, they're not going to deviate from how they play. Like stylistically, the Rockets will still launch 40 to 50 threes, and the Lakers will still run through LeBron, and the Bucks will still run through Giannis, and the Celtics will still adhere to their defensive principles, and who knows what
I just mean more like, some players can't deal with pressure as well as others, as well as the superstars. So I thought that maybe it might take a lot of pressure off of basketball players that aren't, in that element as well as other players, the superstars in front of, a huge crowd. The other thing, baseball, they don't have to play if they don't want to play. I say they, if you don't want to play, don't play. But at the same time, I want to say that it would be unfair to tell, like, as much as I would love to not pay Miggy Cabrera $30 million this year being a Tiger fan, it would be unfair to him. I think they ought to forward the contracts a year and say to guys, hey, listen, man, if you don't want to play, then don't play.
Wow.
I'm mad at you, but we'll pay you next year.
How are you in Detroit? Where are you, in a suburb? How far are you from Comerica Park?
I'm 90 miles. I live in the capital city, Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, you're up in Lansing. So gotcha. Miles. But you've been to Comerica a bunch, I would imagine, to watch the Tigers, right? You've seen some games?
Oh, absolutely. I bought an $11 hot dog and a $12 beer before, no doubt.
I'll tell you, Craig, I like Comerica Park and Ford Field right next to it, and they've rebuilt it, Hockey Town. I haven't been there since since Little Caesars opened up for the Pistons, but that downtown area, when I lived in Detroit, granted this was a while ago, but Ford Field was open. Matter of fact, I lived there when it opened. I saw the first concert there, the Stones, which was sick. The Comerica is a good baseball field. It really is. Nice stadium. I like Comerica.
I do too. And when you see a home run hit, it's a little bit bigger of a park, so not as big as it used to be. They brought in the
left field.
The field a little bit
years ago.
When you see a shot, man, it's pretty cool. I mean, you get to see I've had a great time there. Anybody in that city, you have casinos, you have all the ballparks, every sporting, venue that you just mentioned. It's really an awesome city to go to. But yeah, I mean, I wonder, what do you think about that? Like, do you think it's fair that these guys are going to have to, like Miguel Cabrera, $30 million, Jordan Zimmerman, $25 million. They have to take, They lose out a season of,
Craig, here's what I think. I'll tell you what I think, Craig. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you making it. I think that both sides need to be aware that these circumstances are so rare and so unchartered that everybody's got to be flexible. It's got to start with flexibility. And it's got to start with an awareness for the growth and the salvation of the game. Because if this is bungled, like baseball's done before, we know that, the damage, I don't want to say unprecedented. That's a strong word. At some point in history, I'm sure something occurred where so unprecedented would not fit. But boy, it would be demonstrative if this is not done. The hit, the impact, the residual, force that baseball would feel. Listen, I've said many times, as much as I love baseball, love it. And if you're doing local radio, like in New York or Philly or San Francisco, obviously Boston, certain other pockets, baseball is a regional sport that occasionally has a national presence. And I mean, I could talk baseball every day. That's how much I love baseball. But I also realize that, baseball's imprint around the country from a national to do my job well, to really hit on what matters, what resonates most with people, it's not baseball. It's funny. We talk about when we talk about baseball nationally? The Astros cheating scandal. Stupid stuff like, not to minimize that. They're a bunch of cheaters, and I thought Manfred was horrendous with that. But, it's like that's when it infiltrates the show. I love baseball. I love baseball. But I do think that it is very foolhardy to look at this situation and try to say, well, you know what? Yeah. All right, even if this doesn't go well, just like they canceled the 94 World Series, the Expos were terrific that year. My Yankees, Don Mattingly, my favorite of all time, probably getting to his first World Series, definitely getting to his first postseason at that point, though he got there in 95 with the wild card, hit 417 against Seattle. But, I mean, that was that ripped my heart out. There was a thought, I think there's a thought from some people, well, yeah, it might somewhat mirror 94 where there was an appreciable drop in fandom for a couple of years, but Sosa, Maguire brought it back, and I'm sure the same thing will happen eventually, even if there's a big down, a precipitous fall, because fans are disenfranchised and they give up on the game of baseball. What's going to bring it back? We're desensitized to the home run. Really, I mean, what the hell is going to bring baseball back? The reason why Samosa, I almost said. Oh, jeez. It's been a long weekend. It's been a long 3 months. The reason why baseball was able to kind of regenerate and then eventually flourish is that, you know, we were seeing things that we never saw before. You know, guys hitting 70 home runs, 58 home runs, 60 home runs, you know, threatening to hit balls out of stadiums. Kind of see that every night, you know? What was the score last night? 8-6, 6-5. 9-5, 11-8. I mean, we see, we're desensitized to the home run. So I'm going to ask this again. If this is not handled well and the owners remain greedy or unrealistic, the players fight what I believe is more rightfully theirs. I got to make sure I always get that in. I'm a little more on the players with this one than the owners on this, for sure. But the players don't bend. They're not flexible. They're not amenable to changing or tweaking this just for 1 year, just to get through this hellacious year. Can 2021 come, please? Because this sucks. I think that baseball will be in such peril, it will never recover, ever. Baseball's in a good space right now because it's fast, it's explosive, it's athletic, it's trending up, and you can complain all you want about the pace of play, and yeah, I got you. I hear you. It's counter to society. Everything is sped up. We want everything quick. Get it. I got it. But baseball is pretty damn healthy to the point now where, I mean, their revenue stream is about $10 billion on a normal season. That's what the anticipation was this year. $10 billion. You know? Yankees and Red Sox playing in London last year, going down to Mexico. I mean, they're not going to do that this year, but all the expansion internationally, baseball is rolling. If they are both dumb enough and stubborn enough and gluttonous enough to let this happen again, shame on them and the sport becomes dead. I'll come back because I'm a sucker. You got me for life. I'm a baseball fan. But some of you, take it or leave it, I understand. 855-212-4227. Okay, Brandon Tierney back here, CBS Sports Radio. Really good stuff today. I guess I'll give you a warning. If you hear some screams bleeding through the microphone, and you very well might, it is just virtual karate next door in the living room, my five-year-old. Virtual karate. Think about what so many, I mean, wow, what a horrendous year. 2020 has been miserable. There's always the chance to rebound. That's what you got to believe. That's what you play for, so to speak. But 2020 has been a disaster on every single level, economically, from a morale point of view, medicinally. Jeez, it's been rough. Yeah, you may have heard that scream. He's getting louder. He's cooped up too. He's saying, "Get me out of here, Dad." And no little league. I mean, I know that at the end of the day that, you know, the grand scope of what's going on in the world right now, little league doesn't mean a ton. But, man, I miss little league. I miss it. All right, let's get back to the calls and let's finish up with some good stuff here. Let's get Dave in the Bronx. Dave is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, Brian? Listen, I think one of the real problems is, and it's in New York, it's everywhere, people don't support the police on any way, shape, form. You forget it, we're not even getting into politics. They don't. You got a very diverse force, a very young force. You have women. You have African Americans. You have everybody.
Yeah.
And they don't support. And you got a mayor who makes comments.
Well, and Dave, there's also, think about this. I don't know when they implemented this, but I mean, it's a while, but I mean, it might even be 20 years. You know, sometimes time flies when you don't expect it. But I remember when they implemented where, you know, police officers needed at least a 2-year degree. I mean, so you can say
that. Yeah, they do. They still have it. Yeah.
No, I know they do. But there was a point where you didn't. You go right from high school. And
but to deal with, listen, one of the best things the mayor did was that everybody should have a camera or whatever. That's fine. Good.
Yeah.
People, but you got to support the police. I mean, you know, they're investigating what happened in Brooklyn yesterday, and they almost firebombed a police van.
No, I was Dave. I was watching. I was watching all night outside of Barclays Center. What ensued?
I know
it was just.
Let me say something about the baseball.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, nothing will happen. Every one of the other sports said, and you don't hear the players. Whatever. We're not sure if we want to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to come back. Nobody's talking about the end of the day coming back, and that's the fault of the commissioner in this. That's the fall period of both sides. Sit down, close it up for a week, and come to some conclusion.
So you think Dave, you think there's an opening day in 2020 or no?
No.
Wow. Sorry. God, I hope you're wrong.
Listen, I was in the Army Reserves Vietnam time, and I remember 69.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe, what did they win, 27 one-run games?
That talking about the Mets?
Miracle of Mary. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. Was it 27-1? I wasn't born. I know it was a lot. I know they were good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was the most fabulous. Well, you got Howie Rose. Thinks it's the Granny's right. I mean, this is a team that was in last place, and all of a sudden it went.
Oh, yeah.
But we got to support the people who protect.
No, I will always agree with that. And, Dave, thank you for the call. I will always agree with that. And, you know, one of the problems, you know, listen, I only know really like the inner workings of my city, you know, where I grew up and historically, and this isn't talking out of school, but generally the mayors who supported the police department, there was order. And there was prosperity. I think when you get into a point where police officers are not respected or not backed up, you know, you got to know that the mayor and the government has your back, local government has your back fully. Otherwise, you're toothless, and then it's chaos, and then it's not the United States, really. Let me get Steve, who is in, I believe, where's Steve, in Atlanta? Where's Steve at? Atlanta. Steve is in Atlanta. Steve is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, BT? How you doing, man?
Steve, how you doing, man? You okay?
Yeah, I can't complain. You know, I've been listening to your show. I definitely enjoy. I just want to give my perspective on a few things.
I'm all ears, man.
To your last caller saying that people got to back the police, I would say, in theory, yes. But if the police are corrupt, if the police are, you know, abusive of their power, how can you back that?
Oh, no, Steve. Let me just stop you right there, Steve. And I'll let you make your next point. That goes without saying. Like, I didn't even think that I had to circle back to that. When I say support the police, I mean, you know, it just as an overriding premise to make sure that there's order in the city. When a policeman or woman steps out of line, oh, the hammer needs to drop. Period. Period.
Well, absolutely. Well, but I'm thinking more. I'm talking more on a macro systematic level.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't. We can get into that later. You know, I did. One thing that that Ice Cube song you were playing before the last break, Check Yourself, you know, the original version of that song, The Message by Grandmaster Flash, that's a great song. It's probably one of the best hip-hop songs ever, and it really gives the attitude and kind of the feeling that a lot of people have in this country right now. I was just talking about that song a little bit earlier. I just, you know, when you played that, it kind of brought me to that. But as far as the protests and stuff,
and by the way, let me just throw this in too, you know, Grandmaster Flash, I mean, you're talking about the you're starting to get to the origins of hip-hop here.
I mean
you absolutely. Listen to some rap songs, and they are different. They didn't, like, the early rap songs didn't I don't know that women were disrespected the way some are in, and maybe not now, I think that's changed too now, but the early rap lyrics, I mean, they're kind of still saying the same thing that applies today.
Absolutely.
I hear you.
Which is a sad state that we haven't made progress. You know?
Yeah, I do.
We're looking at almost 40 years and, you know, still kind of talking about the same things.
Going in circles. We're going in circles, yeah. Steve, and it's
absolutely
sad.
Absolutely. And I think that's because, you know, we don't take the time to actually practice empathy and listen to each other and take what people say seriously and don't dismiss it. You know, we have to try to look at things from the other person's perspectives and put yourself in that situation. You know, I think that would go a long way.
I'm totally
but,
with you.
And I know I don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to say, speaking of rappers, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw Killer Mike on TV today.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, he was saying some really good stuff, man.
He was crying. He was crying right away. Yeah. You know, his dad's a police. He's got a couple of cousins who are on the job. He was pretty powerful, as usual. Yeah. No, I did see it, Steve. I saw it.
Yeah, and I was watching what happened yesterday, you know, with my family, and you know, it started off peaceful, and then I think with a lot of these protests, what you're seeing is bad actors. You know, I think there's a lack of leadership for a lot of these movements because they're allowing people who just are anarchists and they just want to, you know, have chaos. Mm-hmm. And they don't really care about what people are, you know,
the residue. I'm up against it. That's the only reason I'm letting you go. Thank you for the call. The residue that might emerge from not protesting, from rioting. Listen, it's been a unique show, and I'm happy I was here for it. I think you guys did a great job. I really, truly appreciate all the calls, all the different points of view. Ryan Hickey, phenomenal job producing. Herskowitz, she's money. Updates. You got JJ coming up next. I'll be back Monday, usual spot with my guy Tiki, 3 Eastern, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Hopefully tonight and tomorrow calms down. I don't know that it will, but I hope it does. Just want to say remain safe, remain sensible, remain sane. And as always, we'll get through this eventually, even if it seems pretty dark right now. Have a great Saturday, guys. We'll see you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.